Grace to you and peace and provisions for proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ from God our Father who's created us, Jesus Christ, our redeeming Savior, and the Holy Spirit who continues to enlighten us. Just in order to review for ourselves and to prepare ourselves for thinking about these texts, I want to repeat several of the verses out of our two readings, particularly around the theme, Concordia Theological Seminary, A Light to the Nations. I've made you a light to the nations. And then again, many of the Samaritans in that town believed in Jesus because the woman had said, "He," that is Jesus, "told me everything that I had ever done." Many more believed because of the message of Jesus. And they said to the women, "We believe now, not because of what you said, but because we ourselves have heard him, and we know that he really is the Savior of the world." After the people had left the meeting, Paul and Barnabas were followed by many Jews and by many Gentiles who had been converted to Judaism. The apostles spoke to them and encouraged them to keep on living in the grace of God. The next Sabbath, nearly everyone in the town came to hear the word of the Lord, and the word of the Lord spread everywhere in that region. I have made you a light to the nations. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, it really is like a foretaste of heaven, isn't it? The book of Revelations tells us that in heaven there will be people from every language, from every different tribe or ethnic group, from every nation state, and from every race. And we have just experienced that. And I guess the thrilling thing to me is we've experienced it from right within our own seminary, because that word of God has gone out and been proclaimed to all of these languages, to all of these nations and tribes and peoples. And we've heard it here. We've heard the song. We've heard the prayer, a foretaste of heaven. And today is the day in which we really think about that mission of God to seek and to save the lost. A day in which we think about our Great Commission Resource Library being relocated in the Walther Library. A day in which we realize that CTS, Concordia Theological Seminary, really is a light to the nations. Its very existence says that to the world. And isn't it interesting as we think about yourself and myself, that Samaritan woman came with that physical jar to get water, and all at once in the text we see her leaving the jar behind, the physical things behind, and all at once she's off to the town to tell people that she had in fact met the Messiah. It reminds me of you, 70% second career men, all men for whom the Holy Spirit has pulled on your shirt sleeves, and at one time or another, you too have left that jar, sometimes a job, a home, many things behind, and have realized you needed to hear that call of the Lord God to proclaim that word to the nations. It's said so expressively in the old Great Commission Resource Library room, which is now going to become the Doctor of Missiology Study Center, and I know you've all seen the mural, in which you've got Christ in the center, and then the people of so many different nations standing around him. Let's look for a minute at the two texts as we think about this day in our midst. The John 4 text, we see the woman, the Spirit of God, in that moment after Jesus had said, "I am the Messiah," the one that's standing in front of you, the Spirit of God creates faith in that woman's heart. She leaves the jar, she becomes a witness. Then later on, we see that because of her witness, many in that town became believers because of the message of Jesus. I think there's a point for us here today. She didn't bring people to herself with that message. She opened the way so that they could come to Jesus. And as the story unfolds, they later point out, "Now we believe because we've heard from Jesus ourselves." And how does that happen in our own day? It happens because we take people to the Word of God. 2 days ago, Pastor Johannes was in my room with me, and he said, I would like to donate to the Great Commission Resource Library some special books from my own homeland in Ethiopia, a place where the Word of God spread to in the early days. And I know you're going to want to look at this later on in the day. It's the Psalms. The Psalms written in Ge'ez, the old language in Ethiopia. Each one of these characters carefully drawn by a scribe in a monastery. It's going to be in the research library. You'll be able to see it over in the Walther Library today. You'll be able to talk to Pastor Johannes so that he can explain it to you more fully. But in the center, you see, of that scripture, there's something else. And that's the cross. The cross of Jesus Christ. The fact that God took it upon himself to pay for our sins. And those early Christians in Ethiopia had that right in a very good way, too. I want to take a moment to show you something else that you will see there today. It's interesting how the cross became central for the Ethiopian Christians. We think, for instance, of the special cross for Asmara or for the Eritrean people that are getting their independence very quickly. A cross that reminded them about the door to heaven, which is here, and even the design of the cross is such that people's eyes were lifted upward to realize that heaven was their home, that they were strangers and pilgrims in this world. Then there was the Oxum cross. And you know what's interesting? That the cross of Jesus Christ became very personal for every community in Ethiopia. Each of them had their own cross, in which the special focus of how the blood of Christ, God's Son, cleansed them for all sins. There was the cross in Oxum. It said that the Queen of Sheba came from that place. You notice here the four corners of the world, the fact that the message proceeds out to the whole world is very much in focus for them. Then the cross of Lalibela, the place where there are all the stone churches carved out in stone. No one knows yet how that actually happened in those days. The cross of Lalibela, very interesting to me, because down at the bottom is that box, that Ark of the Covenant, in which the Word of God was kept. It focuses on the Word of God. It focuses on the cross of Christ. And then you'll notice around the edge here, there are some six apostles on each side. And so the projection of that word out into the world through those 12 apostles. The cross is what the Samaritan woman brought her compatriots to know. Then we think about how Jesus met all those other cultures. This John 4 gives us a picture of how it is to be proclaimers of that good news. You notice that Jesus didn't just pass through Samaria. He interacted with a society there. He started where the woman was. He shared with her spiritually. And then he confronted her with the Messiah. And at that point stepped away as his disciples came back so the Holy Spirit could work that work of regeneration in her heart. What an example for what it means for modern day proclaimers, for lights to the nation, which each one of us is today. Jesus was ready to be criticized. That John 4 section shows us too that he was ready to be criticized for sharing the good news. His own disciples couldn't figure out what he was doing talking to a woman. Now, they wouldn't confront him about that, but he was ready to take the criticism in order to share the Word of God. Then as we look at that Acts 13 text, we see Paul and Barnabas. And that reminds us of this week. We've talked about how God used Titus and Timothy and Paul as lights to the nation. And today we're focusing on the fact that this whole seminary is a light set on a hill and that each of us who are here are candles in that light that goes to the nation. Paul and Barnabas were such. They went and they preached in Antioch and Pisidia there. And we notice in the synagogue, there was so much interest stirred up that as they went out, you can just see the people following them, Jews and Gentiles. And it says that as they were following them out of the synagogue, that Paul and Barnabas encouraged them to live in the grace of God, not just to receive that grace of God in trusting faith, but to live in it, to make that grace of God the operative power for their life, a new life as believers. Sanctified themselves so that they became witnesses through their life and through their words. The result? The next Sabbath, it says that almost everybody in the town came out to hear the word of God. And it concludes with the idea that the word of God just spread out everywhere in that entire region. How did it spread? It spread through the mouths of these people who had heard, who took it to their relatives, their friends, and everyone that they met. And so truly, as we think about these words, we have to conclude that our seminary was set here in this place as a light to the nations. Not just a light back to ourselves, but a light to the nations. Students, professors, staff are a light to the nations. And particularly, Great Commission Resource Library, which will now be called the Great Commission Resource Center, inside of the Walther Library, is a light to the nations. The whole purpose is to spread that word of God out to people of every language, of every tribe, of every nation, of every race. And I hope we think of it often, that what we heard here is a foretaste of heaven, and that we can be very much involved, not only in bringing that word to those who speak the way we do, but to the 7,000 different linguistic groups in this world today. We pray. Lord, we thank you for this mission of God that you have given us to receive the word of God and also to seek and to save the lost. We pray, O Lord, that as we do that, this library and the section that we call the Great Commission part of the library may be useful to us, that library might not stay there, but that it may move out through us, throughout the world. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.